And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear, no fear, no fear, no fear. We got fear. We might not, you know, Virgil Vaduva. Go ahead and call him. Call him. He's not answering his phone. Kind of call him. We're going to bug the living crap out of him. I really was looking forward to talking to him. Getsell411.com. Get411. Sell411 on Facebook. And we've had him on before. We're having a problem getting a hold of him because I really was looking forward to talking to him. So go bug the living crap out of Virgil Vaduva right now. Blow up his text. Man, go give him what fur. Because I'm really looking forward to talking to him about decentralization of what he be a-doing. Well, in the meantime, let me go ahead and, you know, I keep pinky swearing. I'm going to go with some, you know, news here. So let's go ahead and do that. And I got there. Let me get the different graphics up. We had Scott Horton. We went long with Scott Horton, you know, the kind of talking about what's a-coming. Are we really, really, really concerned about Trump? Is he going to make it worse? Is it going to get a lot worse? Is it going to get better? Is it going to be, you know, what? I don't know. My thing has been, I'm looking at an opportunity for us to break out the mindset of individuals, the people. If I can get, you know, where we can be just free in our own mind and not even care what they do, you know, they, them, those, I don't care. Why am I concerned? That's one thing I was really pushing back on with Scott is that, okay, Aleppo. Oh, it's the biggest, baddest. Oh, my God, no, Aleppo. We got Aleppo and things about Aleppo. And I'm like, why do I care about Aleppo? What do I care? What's going on? You know, then we got, you know, Yemen. And what's going on with Yemen? I'm looking at, you know, I'm trying to get that. There we go. We got Christmas pictures. Boom. Yeah, for the video. So what's going to happen with our economy, our money, our dollar, you know, is it going to be used as a reserve currency worldwide? Is it going to, you know, what about, you know, precious metals or Bitcoin and how we, this Christmas, I'd like to see the numbers, you know, and that's one thing is a lot of times as you get more decentralized, there are no numbers, you know, it might be some voluntary numbers, you know, it's kind of, you know, they go, oh, nobody spent any money on Christmas this year. Well, maybe they did and you didn't know it. What about that? All right. Go over some of the headlines real quick. We talked to Dr. Ron Paul this morning, and he's like, yep, rigging of the silver market. Kind of be, oh, everybody should be buying some bunch of silver. I always have silver. I like spending the silver. Oh, and gold's good. You have about spending at silver. So, I mean, just out of principle, I'll be buying some more silver and gold probably today. Today, I'm going to do it today because I just feel it's going to. Will it go down? Will it take a dump? Yeah, probably. I don't care. If you're caring about that short term, then you shouldn't do it anyway. Life expectancy in the U.S. drops for the first time in decades. This is National Public Radio. One of the fundamental ways scientists measure the well-being of a nation is tracking the rate at which its citizens die and how long they can be expected to live. I remember a TED Talk done by this one guy, and he was equating. He could see this moving graph. It was awesome. I think I'll put that back up. It was, you look at prosperity, economics, and life expectancy. And you could see as these third world nations just down in the middle of, you know, 35, 40 years old, and all of a sudden, boom, it just skyrockets, you know, over this last century as it goes up and they get more prosperous. They eat better, you know, have access to medical. They do it. And then You get the rotten decay of collectivist statist, you know, and America's life expectancy starts to drop. You know, you think it might have anything to do with getting your flu shot? You know, I mean, for life expectancy to drop in the United States, because keep in mind, as years go on, you keep advancing in years. Because what do you think retirement at 60, you know, was? It was, I don't know, I think you could start collecting something at what? I don't know, 55, 60 or something. Then it gets to 62, 63, then 65. You just keep moving. It's going to be, might as well be 90. Because the average age of America was below 60. You know, so they were like, yeah, we're coming out ahead. We're playing the numbers. You know, you just keep putting it in. If you make it and you get access to some, you don't have, not so much. Well, now everybody's living longer. Got to have death panels. So I'm going, all right. Life expectancy starts to go down. Is that a, what kind of sign? Not good. As you increase the days that you can add on to somebody's life, at some point, if you keep even any infinitesimal growth at any time, you add another week to some, you know, the average person's life. You know, over a period of time, it gets to the point to where they just live forever. You know, you're going to get to the point to where we're going to have long lives. They're going to find some little something, something, but our economics have totally based not on property rights that are protected and you take care of yourself. It's a gamble on you dying. Our government has a vested interest in you being dead, with a death tax, of course. You know, so I'm going, that is not, that's not good. That's not healthy. That's not, no, you get death panels and stuff. And I don't want to talk about that during Christmas. That's like a bad thing. Yeah, you talk about that, and you know, with your family's all coming over, and you got nice, pretty pictures of Christmas ornaments and everything on the video, and you're talking about, yeah, nah, I don't want to do that anymore. Let's not do that. Now we have big money intends to shut down our website. It's Paul Craig Roberts. But in the Bush administration, you know, he does a lot of exposés. You know, he's got 1 to 3 articles a week, and he puts up and says, "Let me tell you, I know these guys, and tell you what's up, what's up, what's up." Oh, no, want to take you down. Ron Paul said the same thing. Liberty Report, oh, false, fake news by whatever criteria of fake news. I'm like, you guys keep saying that. And, you know, of course, everybody embraced it. I don't know what they thought was going to happen. You know, even the Washington Post has some articles up that they have up. And they go, yeah, that fake news that we were talking about, the fake news was fake. Okay. All right. Researchers find proof of hell facing an organized evil that infests D.C. politics. Editors comment, the evil is so pervasive that it becomes a part of the system injected into its bloodstream. See, this is when, you know, I go on about the pony horn, blood-dripping fang, ponytail people. That's what I'm talking about. They're just bad. At the core, from the, I mean, it's not like a difference of opinion. They're just bad. And every what bad, whatever it takes to further their bad. Oh, here's a, you know, a little bit of, you know, what I've been looking for. We're at Jackalope. The biggest noise you have out camping or whatever are the ATVs going around, kind of replaced with solar, all the generators, the gas generators and so on. But now electric ATV is ready to create a buzz. Its latest creation is the fully electric all-wheel drive Ultra Beast ATV. The Ultra Beast has not one but 3 motors. 2 500-watt motors drive 1 front wheel each, while the third unit, 1,000-watt, handles both of the rear wheels. These motors are in turn powered by 2 separate battery packs, one for the 2 motors in the front and one for the rear. According to Daymac, a single charge of those 2 packs is good for a range of up to 75 miles, depending on the vehicle model. It's available in standard, deluxe, and ultimate versions. If one of the battery packs does run out, the ATV can still be driven in two-wheel drive using either the front or rear wheels. First generation of, I got a 4-wheel quad, and it's electric, and I got to sneak up on them. You know, this is, yeah, everything's going electric. Yay. Oh, I got another story. The Maria Occult Gala. Bunch of Hollywood stars in there with the fake spirit cooking of kind of whatever just to get their mind right. Ew.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Christmassy song, but until then, we just gotta do a little bit of rock and roll and whatnot. Yeah, because I can. All right, now let's go ahead and go through. I promise we'll go through the stories. The Maria Cult Gala. You look at it's on Freedom's Phoenix. You look, it's just this kind of spirit cooking goes to Hollywood and hundreds of people, and they're sitting around in front of, you know, bodies laying on with skeletons on top of kind of, you recognize a lot of these people. They're just having some fun, you know, with people's heads, you know, sticking up out of the table. And then they have a naked woman, you know, that they, I guess she wax covered on the cake, and it looks in there sticking knives into and cutting, eating, and kind of, ew. Ew. There's definitely some ew. And, you know, cut off the breast of one and some chocolate cake. You know, I mean, just definitely big money. There's some weird stuff going on, and it's right in front of our face. They're, yeah, FYI, man, just go take a look at that. It was sent to me by a reader, and I'm going, damn, really? All right. Extreme winter survival vehicle prep. Stay warm, and you will be found. This is, you know, you got some extreme weather coming. It's getting cold. What happens when it gets cold? I don't know. It's getting cold. And, you know, the global warming, you know, something. I don't, it doesn't matter. Even with global warming, it's still, it gets cold. So one thing, like here in Arizona, we really focus on having water. I mean, it doesn't matter. When it's 115 degrees, I don't care if you can see, you know, yeah, town is right over. I'll be dead by then. I'll be beef jerky. You know, so yeah, I have a hat and some water and good tennis shoes or something. And that's it. So in the winter, make sure you got a warm blanket too. So it's just, you know, survival kit thing we put up there. You know, make sure you go take a look at that real quick. You might want to add something for almost nothing in your trunk and not die. How about that? Dallas Police and Fire Pension Board runs ends run on the bank, stops $154 million in withdrawals. The system was set to pay out the weekly request Friday. Pension officials said allowing the withdrawals would leave them without the liquid reserves required to sustain the $2.1 billion fund. Our situation is currently critical, and we took action, Board Chairman Sam Fryer said. Boom! They shut down access to pulling out your pensions. And they're just saying, nope, wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. We'll see what happens. Here in Phoenix, they just passed an initiative, you know, supposedly, that we'll fully fund it no matter what. We'll pass a tax. We got free hand. The initiative said we can just pass more tax, whatever we need to fund, and the police and fire, they get their money, and you don't, and life sucks. I'm going, oh, that always turns out well. Not. All right, so we'll see what happens there. Then we will fight in the shade, a guide to winning the media wars. The ongoing battle between independent alternative media, this is from Zero Hedge, Mike Krieger wrote this, alternative media and legacy corporate government-sponsored propaganda media is in full swing following Donald Trump's victory in the 2016 election. While I'm no big fan of Trump, his win has so emotionally damaged the U.S. status quo, they have begun to lash out in an hysterical and careless manner against those they feel prevented Her Highness Hillary Clinton from ascending to the throne. The escalation of this fight, which I have referred to as the media wars, since the summer was easy to foresee, as I noted in the post, questioning Hillary's health is not conspiracy theory. As I look at the landscape in 16 to date, I observe emergent signs that alternative media is finally beginning to take over from the legacy mainstream media, the lamestream media, the media so last century. When it comes to impact and influence, the lamestream media, unlike with John McCain in 08, had decided that Hillary Clinton's health was not an issue and chose not to pursue it. Many in the alternative media world took a different position, and due to mainstream media's failure to inform the American public for decades, the alternative media drove that issue to the top of the news cycle. And then, of course, there were other issues and stuff, too. But the main thing is that I've dealt with the media directly. Certainly, you know, here in Arizona, and you run for office, and you meet with the editorial boards every couple of years. You go through that process. You do interviews. You talk to the reporters, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'll tell you, they were of this arrogant mindset of, we control the narrative. We decide not only, you know, what is discussed, but what is said about what is discussed. And I'm going, you know, well, we're getting that. We use the whole educational process of the campaign and what we bring up and bring up issues they didn't want to talk about. They don't like that. And that's exactly what happened. So they're going to do, they, them, those, they're going to do something. They're going to make it illegal. Like Germany, what are they doing? If you don't pull down an article, like Facebook doesn't take down something they deem to be fake news or they don't like or not in national interest or whatever the hell it is, they fine them. No, that's a common. Amazing first ever look at Robert the Bruce's face, created 700 years after his death. Scientists and historians have created the first image of Scottish warlord Robert the Bruce 700 years after his death. One image depicts, well, they got his skull and they created, you know, doing forensics of what he might look like, and boom, there you go. And I go, really? All right. In case anybody care what Robert the Bruce looked like. Brian Williams complains about fake news after losing job for fake news. MSNBC's Brian Williams bemoaned the prevalence of fake news Wednesday evening despite losing his job with NBC's Nightly News last year for spreading fake news. You know, you can't make this stuff up. Facebook already blocking links to fake news. A lot of fake news ain't going on. Facebook is already blocking links to so-called fake news stories, despite the Washington Post being forced to admit that its own definitive article on fake news was based on shoddy research. A Twitter user revealed how he tried to post an Alex Jones channel video about Pizzagate on Facebook, but was blocked from doing so because Facebook characterized the YouTube link as unsafe. To whom? This suggests that more than just blocking alleged fake news websites, Facebook is censoring certain topics from being posted altogether. The social network giant also appears keen to comply with a European Union demand that all fake news, which was listed on a par with hate speech and jihadist propaganda, be censored within 24 hours. As we reported yesterday, after pressure from academics, Google is also delisting information pertaining to criticism of Islam and information about black people being overrepresented in crime figures, which is an objective fact. News isn't, you know, where are you going to go? What are you going to search? Decentralized internet. I keep screaming. I've been for exactly this reason. They're not they, them, those that won't leave us alone. Who are they? The ones who won't leave us alone. They are not going to allow you to communicate ideas and information and news directly with each other unless it is approved. It is approved fake news. You know, we got an email, Virgil did top of the hour, from Virgil Maduva from 411, cell 411. And he's in a meeting, emergency, kind of go beyond his control. He can't, got to reschedule. All right.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with a chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
And we're right back. Donna's communicating with Virgil Maduva. I'm trying to get him in today. I was really hoping to have him part of today's show because I know that, you know, a lot of people are going to be listening to Ron Paul being on, and then after we're doing a podcast with Brian Sovereign from Sovereign Tech on internet security and different decentralized, whatever. I really making today part of that and trying to get him in today, because Cell 411 is a really good example of some of the things that we want to push and to be to his advantage. But he's in a meeting where maybe Donna can hook that up. I'd like to get him in today's files, but I can't hold it because people are like, freaking push the publish button. Damn it. It's not up yet. It's 3 o'clock Eastern, Mach Schnell, so I can only hold it so long. There's one article here I wanted to, on this credibility of mainstream media outlets over at Zero Hedge. They, of course, you ask Republicans or Democrats or left or right and which sites do they feel is more or less credible than the other, and it's long predictable lines. But who won was all the non-voters. I mean, that's getting to be a bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger slice of, we don't care. So that's one thing I want to talk. It's going to be just public opinion. I can see it. Understanding evil from globalism to Pizzagate. However long before I've dealt, this is Brian Smith over at Zero Hedge. However long before I delved into these subjects, my primary interest of study were the human mind and the human soul. Yes, I'm using a spiritual term. My fascination with economics and sociopolitical events has always been rooted in the human element. That is to say, while economics is often treated as a mathematical and statistical field, it is also driven by psychology. To know the behavior of man is to know the future of all his endeavors, good or evil. Evil is what we are specifically here to discuss. I have touched on the issue in various articles in the past, including "Are globalists evil or just misunderstood?" But with extreme tensions taking shape this year in light of the U.S. election, as well as the exploding online community investigation of Pizzagate, I am compelled to examine it once again. I will not be grappling with this issue from a particularly religious perspective. Evil applies to everyone, regardless of their belief system or even their lack of belief. Evil is secular in its influence. I encourage you to go read this and kind of, I didn't really want to delve onto this issue, certainly in the holiday time, but I'm telling you, my experience and where I differed and where I separated from a lot of people that were my peers at the time in the early 90s, late 80s, was that I just knew to stay away from certain types. It didn't matter. A lot of people were looking at the money or the power or the influence or the coverage or some other metric. And that's why I keep going on about, what metric are you using? What are you measuring? Is it just vote totals? Is it money? Is it membership? What is your metric? I go, I can give you that. I mean, that'll happen, but based on, you give it time and the right, and the circumstances and, and pace. And it rises, love-illusion kind of stuff. And I'm going, of course it's there. People want to be, if they can see that they're making a decision that furthers that. Especially in the raising of their kids or where they spend their money or their health. They'll start making the right decision given enough information. So you just got to keep them confused or distracted. Look at this really nice, big, shiny gold carrot. And the stick. You need to make the right decision, boy. And I'm just, what are the criteria you use to make the right decision? That's what we're going to try and focus on. Because I see the power of that. It had a big influence on me. And I came across, I was looking too. Because I just, these people are bad. Hillary reemerges, slams dangerous epidemic of fake news. What was first and foremost on the mind of person who the impartial media declared had a 90% chance of being America's next president, was it some intense introspection? Perhaps it was some idea of how to reform and fix the imploding Democratic Party, or maybe it was her finally accepting responsibility for her actions and her loss. None of the above. Instead, the one thing that appears to have preoccupied the former Secretary of State is a proliferation of so-called fake news, a phenomenon she called an epidemic. It was not immediately clear if she also lumped in the Washington Post into that bucket. Recall that last night, in an editorial note to the Washington Post fake slanderous story about Russian propaganda fake news, the newspaper distanced itself from its primary source, prop or not. Instead, a source of propaganda when the WAPO admitted it does not itself vouch for the validity of Proppernot's findings regarding any individual media outlet, or did the article purport to do so? What happened is the Washington Post put out this Proppernot article that listed all the, fake news. These guys are all fake news. But hell, I'm going, looking at these, I'm going, well, hell, a lot of these are the only place I get any news. I mean, any credibility, you know, like, you know, Liberty Report with Ron Paul. Oh, yeah, there's fake news for you. I'm going, no. That, it just lost all credit. Well, Washington Post, they just threw it up there because we printed it, makes it so. Kind of backfiring, I think. Yep. And then we got, you know, talk about fake news. Well, a new law allows the United Kingdom government to lie in court. Here's an article up, you know, New World next week, you know, has got a video up here about it, but I saw the article yesterday. We also put up an article link to it that the United Kingdom law enforcement can lie in court. Well, keep in mind, the Queen, you know, the monarchy has the ability to at least stop any story. They don't like it. Hey, man, you're the Queen's paper. You're in the land of you don't think, you know, what you think King and Queen mean? Means I get to say what you get to say. Damn it. So lie by omission. Now they can just lie in court. All right. Yay. Got that going for us. The Obamacare dilemma in one graphic. President-elect Donald Trump has consistently called to repeal or replace the Affordable Care Act throughout his campaign. But as visual capitalist Jeff Desjardins notes, many pundits see this as being a catch-22 for the incoming administration. America's healthcare system is already a global outlier in a bad way, with the disproportionate amounts of money being spent for very little return on life expectancy. In fact, it's going down. For that reason, many people see the additional coverage of 20 million new people through Obamacare as a crucial step toward, you know, forward. However, the new coverage hasn't come without major challenges. Obamacare is plagued by soaring premiums, insurers leaving the program, and coverage monopolies in certain states. This puts America's healthcare at an inflection point, and no one really seems to know how to solve it. And Obamacare increases are the highest in the nation. Drum roll, Arizona, 116%. It is just, my kids, my son-in-law is in insurance. He does senior planning of financial, of insurance, of Medicare, of all kinds of. So, and he's going, he's telling the family, he goes, I don't think you guys understand what's going to happen. By next year, it's going to be, are you freaking kidding me? Double price. You're paying $300, now $600. You're paying $600, now $1,200. This is having a big impact. There's going to be some pushback on, I don't know how they're going. I don't know. I mean, they want it to be bad so they can come up with something now. I don't know. Technocracy.news, Patrick Wood's site, he has Time Magazine openly promotes technocracy. Yeah. This is, we rule people with punch cards from the 1930s. And they're coming out. They go, we got to abolish the Electoral College, create a streamlined and expert cabinet, replace the Senate with an assembly of governors, let the Supreme Court modify the Constitution, restore a strong federal service that knows how to run a country. Damn it. Get them brown shirts out there. Okay. This is, are they serious? Of course they are. Oh, here's one. Christian-owned bed and breakfast must host gay wedding. State panel finds. Yep. You got your own bed and breakfast for Christian and everything. Nope. You must allow gay weddings at your place of business because you have to, because.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Merry Christmas!
last song break yet because we can. Okay, let's go through some of the news still and get that taken care of. We have Obama as, you know, got doubling down, and before he's leaving, you know, we're going, Ukraine. You know, they got some senators up there saying, we believe it's in our vital interest, national interest, national security interest. And I keep adding on, to uphold these norms and values and prevent America's commitment to its allies from being called into question. In light of Russia's continued aggression and repeated refusal to respect Ukraine's territorial integrity and sovereignty, blah, 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 more war and more military and more because they need more. Because we also renew our call for the United States to increase political, economic, and military support for Ukraine. I think I'll decline. On December 8th, yesterday, so-called presidential determination said, what the hell's a presidential determination? I'm wondering, many of us make this stuff up as they go along. Quote, I hereby determine, I guess this is Obama, I hereby determine that the transaction encompassing the provision of defense articles and services to foreign forces, irregular forces, groups, or individuals engaged in supporting or facilitating ongoing U.S. military operations to counter terrorism in Syria is essential to the national security interest of the United States of America. Well, this is yesterday. So they're saying, yeah, we're not leaving, man. Don't worry about it. It's all good. You know, and this is in reference to what? Arming terrorists in Syria. Well, arming our guys. You know, they're leaving Aleppo. They got pushed out. Well, don't worry about it. We got some more rocket launchers for you or something. You know, this is, they're not stopped. What the hell is got? You know, and you have these kinds of economics, money being spent and war, and it just, you create different kinds of people in the circumstances. What do we have in Venezuela? Unemployed fishermen in Venezuela becoming pirates. Terrorizing coastal towns and doing freaking Viking raids and so on. This is they're starting to venture out, but well, what? Where did we hear this before? Somalia, Yemen. You're going into the Red Sea or the Persian Gulf, and you got ships going. Hey, come over here, man! You know, and they use a rowboat to take over a freighter. I don't know how the hell that's even possible. It's just craziness, man. Just crazy. Oh, here's something. Reinventing the wheel. Nestle, Tall House Cookie, Nestle, Chocolate Nestle, reformulates sugar. Well, I'm just going to feel all warm and fuzzy about that. Let's see what they have to say. If you want to cut the amount of sugar in a particular food, it makes sense to just add less sugar, right? I mean, isn't that the first thing that comes to mind? You just put less sugar in whatever it is you're making. Viola, mission accomplished. Well, Nestle came up with a better idea. Reformulating sugar so it can disassemble easily in your mouth with less going into your gastrointestinal tract. And you go changing food. Stuff happens, man. You first. Let's see. Why go around the mountain when you can expend all of your energy climbing it or restructuring its shape? Nestle says its sugar-light product will allow the company to reduce the amount of the sweet stuff that goes into its candy products. Well, does it taste like... What? You know, you first, man. We'll wait until the rash or whatever happens from that. Mick Jagger, 73, catches last-minute 3,500-mile private jet flight to go and welcome his new son, Sir Mick's eighth child, and the latest addition to his brood. You know, the singer and 29-year-old ballerina Malene Hamrick, gave Mick a son. Boom. So 73, and he's still creating. That's good. It is like a nuclear bomb went off in the prepping community. At one time, it was estimated that there were 3 million preppers in the United States. But in the late 16, interest in prepping has hit a multi-year low. The big reason for this, of course, is that the election of Donald Trump has fueled a tremendous wave of optimism among those that consider themselves to be conservatives, patriots, evangelical Christians. Not since the election of Ronald Reagan has the mood on the right shifted in such a positive direction so suddenly. But now that everyone is feeling so good about things, very few people still seem interested in preparing for hard times ahead. In fact, it's like a nuclear bomb went off in the prepping community. As the publisher of the Economic Collapse blog, where this came from, Michael Snyder wrote this, I am in contact with a lot of people that serve the prepping community. And I can tell you that sales of emergency food and supplies has been crashing since Donald Trump's surprise election victory. Firms that help people relocate outside of the United States has seen business really dry up. And I know of one high-profile individual that has actually decided to move back to the country after Trump's victory. It is almost as if the apocalypse has been canceled and the future history of the U.S. has been rewritten with a much happier ending. The very thing that I think we should be preparing for, you know, not only physically, but mentally, emotionally, spiritually, is it's coming. You're not going to stop it. I mean, there may be, bright lights on hills somewhere or something, but no, there's no stopping economically what's going to happen, in my opinion. You know, so I'm just very happy that now my kids start to go into their 30s. They're going, yeah, okay, we're a little bit. They got a little bit of a little bit. And I'm like, good, because I'd like to keep some of mine. I don't have to feed you all. If you guys got money, go get your own damn stuff. Here, which of these would you rather have in your safe? It's easy to calculate. A stack of $100 bills is 6.14 inches long and 2.61 inches wide and 0.43 inches tall. So that's $10,000. $10,000, you got a little stack of, you know, whatever. I'm going, okay, that's a volume of 6.89 cubic inches, you know, and we'll use the metric system, and it's 113 cubic centimeters or whatever. And you're going, okay, so how much is that? It's like $88 per cubic centimeter. We need to be able to stack. You're going to have a little safe. You want to have some more stuff that's a lot more stackable. You know, what about a kilogram bar of gold? What? You know, that's a couple pounds of gold. You know, how much space does that take up? You know, what are some of the other things you might want to, in your itty-bitty safe, you might want to have? Well, you got, cash. You probably need some of that at least. Well, let's see. Gold. Okay, that takes up a small amount. Silver. You know, you're starting to take up quite a bit more than gold, but, you know, silver's more easily spent in different denominations. You know, I mean, what about euro notes? What about other foreign currencies? What about pesos? What about, you know, what about getting Swiss francs? You know, what about, you know, bigger denominations? Where can you get that? Bearer bonds or something. What about wine? You know, or some other antique, expensive, you know, jewelry or watches? Or what about ammunition? You know? Some 7.62 whatever. Yeah, I'm you know, ammunition might be one thing you want to have in there. What about, you know, some different rare items like comic books? You know, you can get, you know, one book be worth, you know, $40,000. Might do that. Colored diamonds, rare diamonds. You know, what would you put in? Oh, a QR code to your Bitcoin wallet? What about that? You know, what is it that you think would be of the greatest value? You know, one thing that really came to mind, I don't know where I saw it. It was in your bug out kit or something, have at least a little solar zero charger thing for your tablet that you have loaded with a bunch of books and information. You know, it's just loaded books right on there. How to survive, anything, book of whatever the hell. How to make a fire, you know? You want to be days, weeks, months, you know, cast away on the island. I can't make a fire. You know, this information, having a tablet with a lot of information or contacts or books or entertainment or movies, and that, you know, that would be worth a lot right after, you know, I got some food and fire and, money and stuff. We need to still keep thinking about this. I wouldn't blow it off. War against free press. BMW pulls Breitbart ads. Now, that's going to be economics. I mean, it always happens, right? You know, Freedom's Phoenix, a lot of other places, you know, Google ads on anti-war. It's, you know, hey, we're going to take your money if you don't comply. You know, you can expect that, which is why I rushed. I couldn't give $1,000 enough fast enough to antiwar.com to run some ads we had on there. I go, oh, screw that, man. I'll pay for y'all. We'll do that. All right, got that. Oh, big, the big one coming. Earthquake starting on the San Andreas. At threat. Oh.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this. To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week, we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.